soon as we get down to the rock layer where the bones are going to be, basically we start showing people, yeah, what is the difference between the rock and the actual fossil bone? And really, as soon as we can start to see where the rock ends and where the fossil begins, if it's your first day in the dig, we'll get you straight into digging out that dinosaur bone.
If you ever wanted just what it's like to be on a real dinosaur dig, now's your chance, because this week we're speaking with Stephen Rumbold from the Australian Age of Dinosaurs. Now, where's that? It's in the middle of Queensland. I tell you what, they are digging more than just a few bones up.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Hey, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. This week, we are speaking with Stephen Rumbold. Now, he gets to live the dream. Seriously, just as you heard in the intro, he gets to dig up dinosaur bones. And that is so cool, because there are so many friends of mine and science teachers and all over the place who would love to get involved in that type of caper, and he gets to do it with all the people at the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. Now, if you've never heard of the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum, you're certainly going to hear about it today, because this place is just booming right in the heart of central Queensland. We're talking Winton, which is a bit, well, about 2 hours drive west-ish of Longreach in the heart of Queensland. It's there where they're setting up a major regional museum all about the dinosaurs of Australia's history. And it's so cool because they're working with the graziers, the farmers that surround the district to, well, find Australia's heritage is what it's all about. And here we get to speak with Stephen Rumbold, who is the education coordinator and the lab supervisor for the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. It is such a cool place. Now, a little bit about Stephen. He used to work at the museum, well, originally as a tour guide, and he's worked his way up all the way through the museum in different ways, and it's really clear that he's really passionate about dinosaurs and, more importantly, how to get this museum thriving out in the middle of regional Queensland. So why not find out about not only about what the museum's doing, but how you can get involved. Seriously, you can go on dinosaur digs, and I guess you'd want to hear more about that. Stephen Rumbold, thank you for coming on the Phys Ed Podcast.
Yeah, no worries, Ben. Good to be here.
Yeah, especially it started the new year, and we've had a hot summer where we are. I must say, as much as I don't like usually starting with talking about the weather, where you guys are in central Queensland, it's seriously hot up there.
Yeah, been very, very hot, over 40 for the last couple of weeks, and very dry as well.
Yeah, I mean, so there'll be people wondering, who on earth are we speaking with? Stephen, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm the laboratory supervisor and education coordinator for Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum in Winton in Queensland.
It's a fantastic spot. Now, the thing is, I don't think many people realise that there are genuinely dinosaur specimens in Australia.
Well, look, that's the thing. It's just becoming, I guess, the last 20, 30 years, we're starting to find a lot of dinosaurs in Australia, and most of the dinosaur bones we've found in the whole country are coming from right here in Winton.
Where did all this come from?
Well, originally out here, I guess the history of the dinosaur discovery goes all the way back to the 60s when they first found dinosaur footprints about 110 kilometres outside of town. But for our museum here, it only began in 1999 when a local grazier by the name of David Elliott found some funny rocks, and he believed they were dinosaur bones, and turned out he was right, and it's all sort of grown from there.
Yeah, talk about growing. I mean, from starting off with one specimen, which got brought to the Queensland Museum, you know, and then a small showcase, and then it grows and grows and grows. You guys have a full-on museum being built up there, up on the jump up in Winton, eh?
Yeah, well, the museum here has been getting bigger every single year. Since 2009, we set up the Dinosaur Laboratory here, which has become the biggest and fastest dinosaur preparation lab in the Southern Hemisphere. We also have our collection room up here as well, which has the most Australian dinosaur bones on display anywhere in the world. And we've also recently opened up a dinosaur canyon, which is an area of our local Mesa Plateau, which is filled with life-size bronze statues of the dinosaurs from the area.
So what sort of size dinosaurs are we dealing with here?
What we mostly find are the big sauropods, or the big long-necked dinosaurs. Now, the ones we're finding here, our biggest is about 20 metres long from head to tail maximum, which is a pretty big animal at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got sauropods, which are you know quite the large specimens, very, very much so. I mean, especially when you're talking about out in the Australian bush. But I mean, it's not just the herbivores. I mean, you've got quite an iconic carnivore and in statue form out the front of your visitor centre.
Yeah, so our carnivore is Australovenator wintonensis. He's the most complete meat-eating dinosaur in the whole country so far discovered. And yeah, he's our fearsome meat eater to go along with our big long neck gentle giants, I guess you'd say. But also out in this area too, we've found other smaller bones from other types of dinosaurs out here too, and a lot of them are represented at our new Dinosaur Canyon exhibit, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that new canyon exhibit is stunning. I mean, maybe take us a walk through what that canyon looked like.
Yes, so Dinosaur Canyon is a new exhibit we opened up just at Easter last year. And the idea is people can go down there with the guide, and he leads them through several different galleries where we have a series of statues all together, and the guide will explain what these dinosaurs were like 95, 100 million years ago. We have an area with Australovenator chasing a bunch of smaller dinosaurs, kind of a lifelike representation of the dinosaur stampede at Lark Quarry. We have a couple of Cunbarosauruses, which are the armoured dinosaurs. We also have a little family of flying reptiles, pterosaurs, up on the peaks as well, which is also pretty cool to look at.
Where did that idea come from? Because, I mean, there's not, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, museums do some fantastic stuff, but being able to get people out of the bricks and mortar and into the, you know, out in the outdoors is, you know, I think is fantastic.
Well, it's always been the idea out here altogether, is really to take the whole idea of the museum and do it in a different way, to really make it hands-on and to make it up close and personal. People can also, when they come on our tours, the behind-the-scenes aspect of us as well, where people can see from just a metre away technicians working on the actual fossils and see these things coming out of the rock for the first time ever. And also, we have a program where people can actually pay a fee and participate in these programs too. They can learn how to work on these fossils and actually have a real go at it.
And that is just amazingly cool because there are educators listening to this from all over the globe. And, you know, people get to travel. And be honest, a lot of people in Australia too take students around. The fact that you can actually not only get up and up close and personal with the fossils, one thing, but to actually help with the, you know, the paleontological work, the excavation, so to speak, that is just stunning. I mean, yeah, I'd love to know more and more importantly, how people can get involved in that type of thing.
Yeah, well, that's it. It is a really open door science policy program really out here. So it's all on the website, how to get involved with working in our laboratory. Another option is people can even go on the dinosaur digs, which is really unique. There's not many places in the world where really anyone over 18 can, again, pay a fee to come and participate in this sort of a program and see this stuff coming out of the ground and working with the paleontologists, which is really exciting too.
Yeah, that's fantastic because the fee itself would go towards supporting what Australian Age of Dinosaurs is doing. I mean, it is a non-profit centre and very much for Australia, which is a great, fantastic spot. I mean, describe what it's like to be on a dig. Like, what do you, I mean, obviously you're digging for dinosaur bones, but I mean, yeah, just describe the process.
Well, yeah, so for us out here, the way we find our dinosaur bones is usually it starts with one of the local graziers, one of the local landowners. They'll actually are usually the people who find these fragments of bone on the surface of the soil and then come and let us know. And then we go out and investigate a little bit further. And if we think it's going to be a good one, we'll organise a good time with the local landowner to head out there and actually excavate. And that means we're going to have us laboratory guys there. There'll also be the Elliott family there and also official paleontologists from across Australia too. They'll all go out there with this team of people, and some of them will have done it before, some will be their very first time. And we had to go out there and start trying to excavate all the bones, just like you see on the TV, really.
Yeah, so if you're absolutely brand new to this, I mean, you know, you've just got to be over 18 and obviously the physical condition to be able to do this. What sort of training on site do you give them? I mean, what sort of things can someone turning up for the first time expect to be doing?
Look, they get involved in everything. So really, end of the day, we start with, of course, the heavy equipment, which will be the loaders and mini diggers, but that's driven by the Elliott family, the guys with the licenses. But as soon as we get down to the rock layer where the bones are going to be, basically we start showing people, yeah, what is the difference between the rock and the actual fossil bone? And really, as soon as we can start to see where the rock ends and where the fossil begins, if it's your first day in the dig, we'll get you straight into digging out that dinosaur bone. So straight away, you're going to be the very first person to ever see this bone come out of the rock.
Which is outstanding. I mean, one of the things I actually referenced the weather right at the very start of this is because you are in central Queensland, I'm guessing early January is not the time to be doing this.
No, definitely not. We definitely wait for the cooler months of the year to go out into the field digging these things up. But the work in the laboratory here in the big shed, we've got lovely, nice, big air-conditioned fans, so we can do the work in the lab year-round, luckily.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a lot of work to do. I mean, if anyone's ever been out to those sheds, you'll see racks upon racks of casts filled with bones that, you know, you haven't quite got to because you've got such volume of stuff to get through.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to the excavation, we only do that for probably about 3 weeks out of the year because we've already got about a 10-year backlog of Australian dinosaur bones sitting in our shed.
And it's the sort of thing, like, I mean, I was lucky enough to travel across the Royal Tyrrell Museum over in Alberta, Canada, and they've got the same situation with all these jackets of bones, which they just got to get to at some point. Is this a common thing across museums, a whole dinosaur specimens?
Well, really just museums in general. Most museums do have extensive collections in the behind the scenes that no one ever gets to see. So usually there is a sort of backlog, but luckily with at least the dinosaur bones, look, that's why we're only digging that small amount of time every year, so our backlog doesn't become too overwhelming. But because we've opened this up to the public, every year our lab's procedures get quicker and faster as more and more people get involved. And that's really how we'll eventually make up that gap pretty quickly, I think, in the next few years.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been there. You've got teams of people going hard at it with, I think there's a Wen pens and that sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah, so the tools we all work out here, they're all pneumatic tools, so they all run in the air compressor. So air chisels are the bigger ones, but yeah, the air scribes or Wen pens is another one we use. They're the more common ones, I guess, for the final touching. There's also smaller tools and a variety of other techniques as well. But yeah, really just all with the air compressor pneumatic drills, and that's really what we use.
Now, one of the things that Australian Age Dinosaurs is very much about is, yeah, it's about research, but also it's about involving the community itself. And obviously, as yourself being, heading up education side of things, I mean, I know that there's big plans for really getting involved in the education side of things. So what have you got in mind?
So the education side of things is we're also trying to get bigger and better as well, because we really want to try and engage the students out here, particularly out here in central Queensland, to get involved with the scientific history of this place, to sort of really get them involved as well. So we do a lot of that sort of work too when the school groups come up here to do the tours.
Well, absolutely. And that's what it's like, the school tours themselves, I mean, they tend to be like 10 kids, 20 kids, 30 kids. Like what sort of ages and volumes do you tend to see come up the MESA?
Oh, we get a lot of variety there too. We'll get some groups that'll come from the coast and be really big school groups. Some will be quite small groups, like the School of the Air kids might come up one year and stuff like that as well. So it always varies, yeah, the ages and everything else. So that's also reflected in our programs. We've got a bit of variety there to try and engage the different age groups as well that come through.
What's really cool about the site itself is, you've got the visitor centre and the labs. They're up on, the jump up. This sort of almost like an iron outcropping in some ways, sitting above a plateau. They almost act as islands for plant life and animal life. And is there much sort of consideration into not just the dinosaurs, but actually just the biology?
All right, so with the environmental sort of things up here as well, yeah, these mesa plateaus, or jump ups as they're locally known, are very different sort of in terms of the flora and fauna. So we do collect a lot of that data too in our Dinosaurs to Dunarts program, where we're trying to get an idea of what sort of species of plants and animals are in this area, particularly focused on the jump ups. And there's already been several new subspecies found of some insects and also some other very rare things, like some very rare marsupials and stuff like that as well. So yeah, it is very unique, and it's also something to keep an eye on, and we'd love to get the kids more involved with that too in the future.
Absolutely. So what's your favourite lesson to run with students?
Well, we've got a couple of different ones we have up here, and I guess that it kind of depends on what age the kids are. So when they sort of get into more, is the one you sort of tend to enjoy a bit more, I guess, when you're up here doing it. So we do let them, if they're old enough, do some work in the laboratory here to have a go at it that way. We also have, particularly for the little kids, we have a replica dig site. So we've made a big dinosaur leg and we've buried it halfway off the jump up cliff. So the kids get a little high vis vest and a bucket of tools, and off we go to go dig up the dinosaur bones for the day.
I'd love that.
Another thing we do is also make replicas with the students. This seems to be a big one from the preps to year 12s. Even the teachers and parents get involved with it. So actually we'll just be able to show them making replicas of an Australovenator claw, which they actually get to paint and take home with them. And for some reason, the kids really get engaged with this, and it also allows us to discuss why do museums make replicas and stuff.
I tell you what, so for some reason they get involved. More than that, Australovenator's claws aren't small.
Oh, no, definitely not. They're probably about 25, 30 centimetres long from end to end. They're very, very big claws. They're very nasty weapons.
Well, they are. I was just sitting here. Obviously, we're talking to a microphone, but just opposite me is a bunch of bananas. I'm just looking at the bananas themselves going, you know what? Those Cavendish bananas aren't that much different in size.
Yeah, no, he would have two claws that big and one slightly smaller one. But he's a bit of a vicious fella. But I guess that's it too, particularly with the kids. They like, the sharp claws and the big teeth. So it seems to be a big hit with the kids to make one of those to take home.
Oh, more than enough, absolutely. I mean, so undoubtedly there'll be people listening in who would be more than keen to get involved, and actually more than just turn up, they actually get involved. I mean, become a paleontologist. I mean, what are the steps to get involved in a museum like yours?
So, yes, everyone's got very different backgrounds. Sometimes it's not the academic side of things that's as important as it is wanting to do this hands-on sort of work, because that's a very sort of a different skill set sometimes. So, but out here you can spend all day working on a fossil and you might not even move a bit of rock the size of a 5-cent piece. But when you see that little bit of dinosaur bone for the first time, you're the first person in the world to see it. And if that gets you excited and keeps you going, that's the kind of people we want here in our laboratory.
Absolutely. I mean, actually, if you're really good at jigsaw puzzles, I mean, I remember I had a fantastic time when I visited a couple of years ago. But for 3 days of my week there, I sat down with an elderly couple trying to piece together, I can't remember if it was, I think it was a shin bone at the time. And we spent several days and we sort of got halfway there. But it was sort of just trying to fit all the fragments into one little section. It's like a three-dimensional puzzle. It's really good for the brain.
Yeah, the 3D jigsaw is another part of it too, because sometimes these bones are completely shattered when we find them. So there are pretty complicated jigsaws because, yeah, there's no picture on the box and you don't know if you've got all the bits.
And that's where a lot of the respect comes. And actually, I suppose when you look at antiquity, when you look at the old dinosaur drawings of what people thought they would look like, I mean, I always refer to Iguanodon, where people often think the what we know are now are thumb spikes. They put it on its nose because they knew what a rhinoceros looked like. Paleontologists have got a bit of a tough job.
Yeah, it can be sometimes because really all we have is the bones. But I guess now, it is getting easier because now there have been such big discoveries in Australia and overseas where you can see more of these things a lot more clearly. And it's not just, I guess, the individual discoveries now here and there. It's now we can see the links between dinosaurs we find even in Australia to ones that they find in South America and ones from South America compared to ones in other parts of the world as well. So it's that whole thing now. It's not just a really, I guess, a localized science of just one or two people. It's really now a paleontological community where all these ideas can be shared. And that's why these things are becoming more and more, I'm trying to think of the word, more and more accurate, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I mean. Science is a revolving process. It just doesn't end. Absolutely. I agree. That's just how it is. And I know that people are thinking, hang on, Central Queensland, but hang on, I'm down in Victoria or I'm in California. I'm not getting there anytime soon. What I'm really excited about is that you're looking at putting in video conferencing to be able to connect with learners all over the place. Man, that's got to be awesome.
Yeah, we're really hoping to get that up and running. Fingers crossed this year, maybe next year. Yeah, so we're really excited to get onto this teleconferencing so we can start to spread, I guess, the idea of Australian dinosaurs further and further afield because we are so far away from everything. And it'd be great, particularly for the schools and for, well, people in the general public who are interested in dinosaurs to be able to see this stuff, even if they can't make it up here. But of course, we'd rather they come to Winton to see it. But yeah, we do want to get that further educational experience out there.
And the thing is, you guys are doing a really good job right from the very almost start, even with the journal. Like the journal that gets produced is it's really thorough and filled with some real personal stories about digging stuff up and all sorts of stuff. I mean, how can they get that?
Yeah, the journal as well. You can buy it in the shop here if you happen to be close enough, but we can also do it all through the online shop now as well. So if you go onto www.australianageofdinosaurs.com, that will tell you all the things you need to know. There's even membership deals and everything else. But yeah, the journal's another great thing. So it keeps you up to date in what the museum's been doing this year, what we're looking forward to do in the future, and, of course, discoveries from not just here but from experts all across Australia and all the different fields of paleontology contribute to that magazine. So it's another really good read if you're keen to learn a little bit more.
Absolutely. Is it all right in saying, because I haven't got your website in front of me, I vaguely remember, have you got like a million-year membership or something like that?
A program where then basically you'll get the journal for life and you also get all sorts of discounts in the shop and tickets and all the rest of it as well and get invited to any of the dinners and fundraisers and stuff we do. And that's just another big thing as well to help, again, help the museum and to help people get involved.
Awesome. Now, something I always ask all of our guests who come onto this is sort of advice, like advice for people that either want to get involved or what they're doing or whatever. I guess if you sort of had to put your hat on, just say you had a number of teachers in front of you and they're just asking, how do I teach about ancient history? I mean, we're talking properly ancient history here. How do we teach about, what dinosaurs were like? I mean, what are some suggestions that you could do that teachers could be doing from their own classrooms in their own spaces?
Yeah, well, that's something as well we're really looking forward to as well. We're currently developing a bit of a Australian paleontology for dummies, if you will, which we're hopefully we'll be able to be purchased by schools to help teach this sort of stuff in the schools with lesson plans and activities and the whole nine. But in the meantime, look, there's a lot of information out there. You just got to really want to look for it. So for information, our website's great for the dinosaurs in this area. We've got really accessible, I guess, summaries written about each of their discoveries and what these dinosaurs are like. So it's written by one of our paleontologists, but it's not written in the very high-level jargon like you expect. It is a very accessible version. And we're hoping to get more and more of that going as well. But I guess with any of this sort of stuff, the best thing you can do is sort of, well, learn as much as you can about it. And if you can explain it to the kids in your classroom, you're going to be able to explain it to anyone. And that's really the best thing I can do for it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if I had to throw my two cents in, I love the fact that you said about dinosaurs in your area and you referred to dinosaurs in South America and North America and all over the place. I guess if you got local dinosaurs in your own district, teach about them. Because I know that we often want to refer to the ones that are in Jurassic Park, which, by the way, is one of my more favourite movies. But we do have our local endemic species as well.
That's it. There is 20 individual species that have been discovered in Australia and have been found nowhere else in the world already. And there's a lot more to come. Pretty much every state has found at least one dinosaur. Tasmania and the Northern Territory have found fossils from the Mesozoic, from the age of the dinosaurs, just nothing that's actually a dinosaur yet. They've found some little reptiles and other plants and stuff.
That's unreal. I mean, so that's the beauty about it is that you've only really just started. Like you said, the 1960s, the first specimens sort of got found. It's sort of in 25 years ago, you guys started going with Australian age of dinosaurs. Now look at you. It makes me wonder just what is out in that wide brown land of Australia.
Well, that's it. Yeah, no one's really been looking before, you know. The first official dinosaur discovery in all of Australia was actually all the way back in 1903 in Victoria. So it took a long time to actually really start to find a lot. And I guess for a long time too, it was just an academic secret. These things have been discovered, but no one really knew much about it. But in the last, 20, 30 years, that's when there's been a real concerted effort, not just here, but in other parts of Australia, to start finding this stuff and really, I guess, communicating it to the public as well.
Yeah, I bet. And that's very much where the education team at AOD comes in. That's awesome. Look, thank you very much for your time, Stephen, for popping in. I know you've got a lot coming on, especially like you're in the middle of the touring season and the holidays. I'd imagine you've got more than your fair share of caravans coming up the Mesa.
Yeah, even though it's still hot up here, we're still getting a fair few people through the doors. We always do. It's, I guess, people traveling around that, you know, dinosaurs are something that always grabs the attention. And as soon as they can come in near Winton, they all want to come up and have a look.
Absolutely, and it's very much. It's you know, if we're wondering where Winton is, it's not that far from Longreach, really. I mean, if you had to jump in the car and drive to Longreach right now, what were we looking at?
2 hours max. That's if you're sort of dawdling pretty well.
No, there you go. So you can drop into Longreach, check out the Qantas museum out there. I mean, it's not just there. There's Stockman Hall of Fame and all that type of stuff. And you've got a great river cruise and stuff out there too. And then go out and see the dinosaur country. Head out to Lark Quarry. It would be fantastic.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to come all the way out here, you might as well spend a couple of days and do it all properly.
Exactly. Well, I'll leave you with it. I know you've got people who undoubtedly you've got tours coming up pretty soon. But look, much appreciated. And we'll put all those links about AOD on the show notes. And have a fantastic time. And I'm hoping to be up there soon.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS. And click 100 free experiments.
Well, there you go. That was Stephen Rumbold. He's from the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum. And I tell you what, the place is thriving. There's a visitor centre and that dinosaur stampede down the valley. Very cool. And I cannot wait until the main museum gets built. Hey, something else came out of this interview which is really interesting and is a testament to how science truly works. Now remember, Stephen mentioned there are 20 dinosaur species known around Australia. However, when he sent through his bio to me just to write up our blog as we always do, he mentioned that there's now 21 species of dinosaur. I mean, gotta love how things just move on. We now know that there's this tiny little herbivore, this little tiny dinosaur about the size of a turkey, that was found near Cape Otway in 2005 and has now been formally identified as Dilophosaurus picaringi. Now, this tiny little thing, and by the way, nothing like saying a Latin name and getting it wrong. Sorry, any scientist if I say it the wrong way. But what this really shows is that science just keeps on moving. We keep making discoveries and making connections. That's really what the beauty of science truly is. Now, what did you get out of this? I'm really hoping that you're considering going up to Winton in Australia's winter. I know I've got a lot of people listening overseas. In August and June, July, that's when it gets a bit colder up there, and that's when you can actually handle the heat. I mean, to be honest, Winton is near a semi-arid desert. It's not far away from it. It's quite cold during the winter. I tell you what, it's really hot during the summer. So if you want to go to a dinosaur cave, you really, really can do this. You just got to get yourself up there, and all the money that actually goes into getting you there and, you know, getting your accommodation and paying to make it happen goes straight towards this non-profit museum to help build it. And you really are doing true science in amongst the paleontologists themselves. So truly, if you can get up there, it's worth it. I've done it, and I'm going up there in a couple of weeks again to help them out with the video conferencing stuff as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, speaking of the video conferencing, of course, not everyone can get out to the Central Queensland area. So soon you'll be able to connect with the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum through their distance education unit, and it's a new thing. So much new, that's not even built yet, but trust me, when it comes, it's going to be worth it. So just keep an eye on that. It's well worth your time. Now, one of the things I want to stress again is if you're teaching about your dinosaurs to the kids in front of you or the adults, whoever you're dealing with, please consider talking about the dinosaurs that are in your regional area. It gives a lot of context. It means that people realize that, hey, there's more than just the 20 species that are mentioned on Jurassic Park. There are so many more. And maybe what you could do is get the kids to look at what's different or similar about the dinosaurs in their area and compare them to the ones in North America. And hey, if you don't have dinosaurs in your area, maybe that's a really good question for the students to ask. And actually, while they're doing that, why don't you go and find out what they know about dinosaurs as a whole? What is the difference between a dinosaur and a flying reptile? What's the difference between a dinosaur and what's in the marine environment? What makes a dinosaur a dinosaur? And tell you what, that's a great place to start.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed podcast. Love your science? We do too. Here's this episode's education tip of the week. Grab your pencil and get ready to make some notes.
Now, I feel after all this that we really should do an experiment where kids can get involved in making their own fossil, making their own print, their impression, and that they get to take it home. And it's so easy to do, and you don't need to get fancy stuff. You just got to go to the local shop. So what do you need? You're going to need to get some flour. You're going to need to get some salt, a mixing bowl, get some coffee. And seriously, you're going to need some coffee of all things. And let's be honest, don't we all need some coffee? But this time you definitely need it in the experiment. And you need something to, well, press into, you know, like a shell, their hand, something like that. And probably some aluminium foil, and you're going to need some water nearby too. So let's start off. You're going to need your bowl, and you're going to make some pizza dough effectively. That's pretty much what we're making. Get your flour, just say like a cup of flour. I mean, if you were doing the whole class, you can get way more than that, but we're going to do like a small batch so we got the ratios right. So get yourself a cup of plain flour, and you're going to mix half a cup of salt through it. Now, I know that sounds like a bucket load of salt, but the reason why is, firstly, it stops people eating too much. Now, don't eat your experiment, kids, but more importantly, what it does is it helps to exclude water later on once it's dry. And more importantly than that, it'll stop bacteria and mold and stuff growing on it. So you really do need a bucket load of salt. In this case, half a cup of salt. So you've got your cup of plain flour, you've got your half a cup of salt, and you mix it up quite a bit. And set it to one side whilst you get some water, and you're going to get some coffee or some coffee grounds. You're looking at about getting about half a cup, give or take. Now, once you've done that, you're going to mix that water through your floury, salty mixture. And just add little bits at a time because it's so easy to, well, make this way too wet. And you're going to need that. Now, I must say, I personally don't mind adding some oil, some like canola oil, to help the flour stick together. Because, hey, if we're going to make a pizza dough, let's, you know, do it properly. What you're looking for is something that looks like something you can, well, bake with. And it should be slightly brown colored because, hey, we're going to be making fossils, and fossils are kind of brownish looking rocks. So once you've got this kneady dough ball of yours, you get the child, the student in front of you, to make a small amount in their hand, and you're going to press a shell or whatever it is they want to make a fossil out of straight into the dough. And once you've done that, you place the dough with the impression in it onto a piece of aluminium foil and place it out in the sun. And over time, it will harden, and you've got a simple fossil impression. Kids love it, and let's be honest, so do I.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? We love seeing students get excited about science, and you will too. Go to physicseducation.com.au and click on schools for more info.
One thing about regional Queensland, it has so much to offer. And last week I got to speak with Craig McGrogan from Reef HQ, who's been teaching science to kids about the reef and beyond for quite a while.
We're getting these study abroad groups. They're coming in and they're doing citizen science in our tank and then out into the field. And I get a lot of enjoyment about that. I think it's largely to do with it's a two-way learning experience. Many of these tertiary students that are visiting us are postgraduates. They're in professions similar to ours over there in the US. So there's a lot of interchange of information and ideas. It's tremendously rewarding to work with these people over an extended period of time, not just a 90-minute program or a 60-minute program, but multiple days, really get to know them.
Yes, it's definitely worth checking out last week's episode. We spoke with Craig from Reef HQ. They've got a lot to offer. They're up in Townsville. And tell you what, wouldn't it be a great trip to go to Winton for the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum and then head on over to Reef HQ to go check out the reef? Brilliant tour and, well, I reckon it'd be a great holiday too.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
And that just about brings us to the end of yet another Physics Ed Podcast. Now, next week is that promised episode with Latitude Group Travel. We are generally looking at some seriously interesting science tours for students. It's really worth checking this out. It's a big thing, and we're really proud to be involved with this too. But until then, still make your science classes awesome, no matter what you're doing. Make them intriguing and enthralling and as engaging as possible. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been on the Phys Ed Podcast. I will catch you next week.